Good morning and welcome to the highlight. Reel.
Good morning and welcome to the highlight reel. This is David Rostosky. I have been finding this podcast very interesting the past few days, thinking about it a lot. It feels like it's been ages since I've sat down and really been here and been present with the field and what's here and what's been coming through. And I think having gone from a daily show down to a weekly show, there's so many pieces of me that want to be able to just bring the heat, you know, like, all right, let's really dive in and like do a really intense collective update or something, you know, like let's let's bring all the value that we possibly can. And at the same time, you know, I think my continual practice is just to be as precise as possible and to continue to follow the energy and follow what's here. And I do find it very interesting that what continues to show up time and time again on this podcast, especially over the past few weeks, is this idea of a yes. And it's something that I've been really trying to articulate more and more with Brigale, you know, kind of sitting in these channeled states and really unpacking, like, what's really here, Brigale? Because there's something that I'm not quite getting. There's something in this distinction of what grounded spirituality really looks like that I'm not quite getting. There's something in this distinction of saying yes to our soul that's so much more than just that very simple language. And Brigale's been speaking into it a little bit in the last episodes, but I was about to go to bed about a week ago and ended up running to my watch because it sounds ridiculous. I have an Apple Watch, slightly less ridiculous, and I have an app called like Just Hit Record or something like that. So I hit record and it automatically transcribes my writings. It's really, really awesome. So I just hit a button on my watch and it records everything, transcribes it, and then I can look back at it later, kind of just to get the gist of what was in that recording if I want to listen back to it or glean certain pieces again. And the thing I said was something along the lines of, oh, I finally understand this distinction. It's not just about saying yes to anything and everything that slightly resembles our soul path. And I had this realization after sitting with someone on a call with Miriam. We hopped on the phone with him and we were talking about committing to the soul path. And we were talking about what that looks like very, very specifically in his own life. And there were actions that we could almost call the little brother of his soul path. Like there's this huge sound healing element. There's these huge, large purpose-driven mission that has been staring him in the face. But there's these almost little brother soul paths that are also popping up, things that slightly resemble it, like, oh, I'm going to teach some music lessons that kind of resembles my soul mission and my soul path, but isn't quite it. And the more I thought about that, I recognized how much that shows up in my own life at huge choice points. And I watch it show up in others' lives on a very continual basis. This wasn't just a singular example. And I was just sitting with Brigale right now and we were talking about how to kind of present this and how to formulate this idea. And he was like, well, you have a few options, you know, we can just teach it, or we can tell some stories through your own life, or we can try to kind of piece together a metaphor and we can work together to do that. And we ended up going with a metaphor. And what we landed on was this idea of a little brother soul path. Like, I mean, I think so many of us have this next iteration of our soul sitting there and we feel what's possible for ourselves. And we feel in a way who we're meant to be. And sometimes when we are hesitant to step into that, what ends up showing up instead are other options, like the little brothers of that soul path. They're from the same family. They're very similar, right? Like for this guy that we were talking to, it still had to do with music and with sound, but it wasn't actually the thing that he's here to do. And with me, when I was in marketing, I wanted to do more soul and purpose driven things, but what ended up showing up were just, you know, jobs that would make money and weren't quite it, but could cash flow so that I could maybe have more money so I could run Facebook ads for my own thing, you know. And I ended up just staying in this limbo for a while within marketing, trying to piece together my life. And I see it time and time again, these little brother paths showing up pretending that they are our soul mission, pretending that they will satisfy this desire to continue to move forward. And I think a lot about certain industries, you know, like in the business coaching industry, I think about some of the paths that people end up taking. They kind of go and they hire a business coach, and the business they end up building is around the structure that the business coach is providing, not actually around the structure that's naturally emergent, right? Maybe they go to do events, even though what's actually there is to build a product, or maybe they go to build products when actually what's there is to get live in front of people and just to start doing it, right? I think there's so many iterations and so many paths of all of our businesses and all of our soul paths. And it's not even always business. We just talked to someone recently who we were all feeling, Miriam, myself, and her, that there was this just artsy, beautiful, motherly, maternal iteration of her that was very present and wanted to birth. And it was almost like what she was here to do right now, to follow that thread, was like to go sit in a park and paint. You know, there's so many iterations of what we are feeling and what is calling us. But it's so easy to do something that feels kind of like it, but isn't actually it. So that's a little bit of what I want to be able to drop in with Bergail on currently. We're kind of using this idea of the little brother of our soul path to just describe this feeling, right? It's from the same family. It resembles our truest essence. And this thing or this mission or this path or this calling that is pulling us forward relentlessly, but it isn't actually it. I think more and more we're beginning to recognize that as a collective. We're beginning to have the tools to be able to navigate our lives at a speed that we've never seen before. You know, I think so much of the reason why we are learning to understand all this, the reason why the spiritual evolution is happening so quickly, is because it's actually much more efficient. Like this idea that the most efficient path is the path that everyone else is already doing is ridiculous to me, because we all have our own different paths. And time again, I notice my life accelerates when I trust myself. My life accelerates when I do the thing that's actually here versus the thing that someone is telling me will work, or the thing that I see or think might work because I've seen other people do it, or because I learned it from some course or for something that I gave my power to temporarily or paid money for temporarily because I hoped that it would save me, or I hoped that it would give me something that was better than I or my intuition could ever fathom or create. I think the reason why we are entering this spiritual evolution right now as a collective is because we are being nudged into that efficiency. We're being nudged into moving as quickly as possible as souls, not necessarily with vanity metrics like our Facebook followers or Twitter followers or Instagram followers, or even necessarily building fast cash business models, right? I think even cash can be a vanity metric at times. Meaning not important, but right, not looking at these vanity metrics, but looking at what is truly and genuinely important and what we truly feel like we came here to do, whether that be the amount of people that we helped with the very specific thing that we feel called to, that lights us up inside, that we feel relentlessly is calling us. When everyone on the planet, right, to take this to a beautiful, idealistic extreme, when everyone on the planet is doing their soul mission and purpose fully, fully and totally, without getting distracted by the latest trend analyses of what's best to do in business, without getting distracted by the expectations of our culture and society of what a business or what a person should look like, if we were to all suddenly embody our truest soul mission and path, the rate at which this world would change would be astronomical. And we're not talking about just meaningless change, like we get quicker iPhones. And I don't think that's meaningless necessarily, but you know what I mean by that. I don't think just these vanity metrics, again, like our computing power or these other things that are important and cool, but aren't actually it. I'm talking about deep soul progress as a collective. I'm talking about waking up to the truth of who we are. Waking up to the realization and deep understanding that we are all the same thing. Waking up to the idea and understanding that we are all literally planet Earth, that planet Earth is a single living and breathing organism, and we are a part of it. And just because we can jump and feel some separation doesn't mean that we're not all the same thing. Literally, air has mass. The oxygen around us has mass. We are all in the ocean of oxygen and various gases that are invisible, but still very much so are a thing. They're not just empty space. We are within the atmosphere, and it is this beautiful blue cell that we exist within. And as silly as we see it for a fish to think it is separate from the ocean, or that it's not in anything, is as silly as it is for us to think we're separate from the earth or from the land. We are entirely encapsulated by the earth's atmosphere, entirely not only on the earth, but a part of the earth, literally within the earth. And with this recognition that we're not only here on and in this planet, but that we are completely inseparable from it, we change fundamentally. That realization, I don't think, has ever not changed someone. Recognizing that countries are absolutely meaningless metrics, meaningless boundaries. Recognizing that race, gender, totally meaningless separations, and even species, totally meaningless separations. We are all literally a part of this exact same ecosystem. Recognizing that we are Earth and that we are individuals, there comes this deep aha moment that we are no different than a cell in a body. And with this realization, holy crap, I'm a cell in a body, there kicks in this internal motivation to do something about that, to do something about the overall health and trajectory of us, of our earth, of this thing that we are. Because there's this recognition that either the totality of Earth does really good or the totality of Earth does not so good, that either our body thrives or it doesn't thrive, either we are healthy or we are not healthy, either we are in homeostasis or we are not in homeostasis, and that our Earth is not trending towards a place that is beautiful and wonderful without a continual awakening and realization of all of the humans on it right now that are kind of mindlessly tearing it down and taking resources for themselves like a cancer cell builds tumors. And, you know, there's just such a fascinating set of realizations that are here for us as a civilization that I'm just continually fascinated with. And I feel like I'm, you know, digressing a little bit. I'm getting away from the point of this, that we have our soul paths. And so often we go choose the little brother of those paths because we still feel like we're doing something. But I fundamentally believe that if we were to all choose the path that is here for us, if we were to all fully self-actualize, if we were to gain the awareness that we were all a part of this larger ecosystem, and to follow that drive that we all have, not for money, not for power, not for sex, not for recognition, not for happiness even, but that drive that we have within us to do our thing that we came here to do. If we were to all suddenly begin to do that and awaken to that and to our unique gifts and our peace within this whole, then that is a body working in homeostasis. That is the totality of this planet clicking back into place, right? I mean, all of the animals, all of the trees are doing their job, quote unquote, within our ecosystem. And it is us as human beings, as these beautiful conscious agents that have the ability to create change on a global scale, like no other species on this planet does. It is us that is kicking this whole planet out of whack. And in that, it is also us that has the power to kick everything back into homeostasis, that has the power to kick everything back into a beautiful, well-oiled machine. So I believe this is very important. This is a piece of grounded spirituality, a very practical spirituality. Yes, oneness is real, but it's also real very physically and tangibly, in that we are made of the exact same atoms as this entire universe. It is real and tangible in that our actions have a very direct impact on the totality of this planet, on the trees, on all the other species, and that our buying decisions are supporting companies to either exist or to not exist, and that all of the corruption, all of the things that we don't want to see as a collective, so much of that comes down to our individual decisions that we're making every single day. And we have so much more power than we think to change the totality of this planet if we collectively wake up to these ideas that we are all the same thing. And, you know, there's so many intricacies here and so many things for us to talk about. But the thing that I really want to zero in on today is this idea of choosing the little brother of our path. And to do that, I want to bring in Burgiel of Sirius, because he's just so eloquent, and I just love having these conversations. I love every time going into channel, and excuse me. Yeah, let's just do this thing. The next voice you hear will be Burgiel's. Let's dive in. All right, hello. It is a pleasure, as always, to be here, to be transmitting in this particular way. There's already been quite a bit said, right? And much of this message has already been, in a way, transmitted by David. He's been just picking up on this field and of this feed and bringing through many of the most important pieces. But there are some things that we'd like to clarify and some things that we'd like to really emphasize before we conclude this podcast and before we really wrap up here. Specifically, the reason for all of this happening, right? There's this idea that choosing your soul path is better somehow than not choosing your soul path, or listening to your soul is better than listening to just your biological programmings or to what you think you are or what you think you should be or what others think you should be, that it's better for some reason, right? And yet within this is a bit of a hanging mistruth. It is not better by any means to do one thing than another. The choices that you as human beings have here are all on an equal playing field. The choices and values across all of total existence, across all of God, you could say, are all equal, in that there is no right or wrong decision. If there was, then things would not be in existence. The things that were wrong simply would not exist. And the things that were right simply would exist absolutely. But what we have instead are many, many different values, many subsets of ideas about reality that are all true from their own perspectives and are all playing out together in many, many collectives. So it's not that following your soul path is better than not following your soul path, or following these little brother paths, as we're beginning to call them. It is more so that we recommend following your soul path because it is quicker, it is faster, it is more efficient, and it is the answer to what you are seeking. So we are not providing a recommendation based on what is right or what is wrong. We are providing an answer to the question that is lingering and that is being asked over and over and over again in the consciousnesses of many human beings on planet Earth at this particular time. Namely, how do I get my life to go smoother? How do I get things to work out in my favor? How do I get things to feel good? How do I feel aligned? How do I feel as though my life has purpose and meaning? How do I live a life that is not entirely empty and meaningless, that makes me slip into endless depression? How do I do the things that make me ultimately happy? Because the metrics that are here, like money, like the amount of individuals that I have sex with on a yearly or monthly basis, or how attractive I am based on the facial symmetry that I have, or based on how well I can do my makeup, or based on my weight or BMI. All of these metrics are entirely meaningless for how I feel inside. So what is actually the purpose of life? How do I feel good? How do I resolve this deep existential crisis that is lingering in the background of my consciousness, literally shaping how I do everything? And to this deep tension, we provide the solution, or our perspective, our support, our reflection on the answer to your question as a collective, which is to simply follow the soul and to trust on a continual basis that it is smarter than you, that it is more capable, that it is from a higher vantage point, that it has significantly more information, significantly more experience and knowledge and wisdom. And that when you trust the soul aspect of you versus the biological aspect of you, you will always move forward quicker, will always feel better, and life will work out better, more seamless. That is where all the synchronicities live. That is where deep fulfillment lives. That is where the complete self-actualization and soul actualization of you as an individual lives. Literally everything that nearly everyone on your planet is looking for lives within this soul path. And nearly everything that individuals are attempting to escape on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, lifetime basis lives within the expectations or the programmings of the biology. This is why we recommend this. This is why we're talking about this. This is why we're talking about these quote unquote little brother paths, is because to take these little brother paths, which are typically fear responses from the biology and alternatives from the biology for what you can do instead of following your deepest soul truth. When you take these fear-birthed paths, you aren't actually leaning into what's truly here for you. You aren't actually becoming more of yourself. You're simply following your biological responses and following the consensus of what's already here. And when you do what's already here on planet Earth, you in essence have no purpose. You change nothing about the Earth, and in that you do nothing about the Earth, and in that your life truly is meaningless. And on some level, there's a recognition of that deeply inside, especially on a soul level, that if you are bringing nothing new to the planet, if you are bringing a fake essence to the planet that you think others will respect more, or you think others will enjoy more than your truest essence, then you aren't bringing anything new or novel to the world. It is your truest essence that this world is asking for currently. Everything else is entirely worthless to this collective. That is the deep realization that is lingering in the souls and deep in the backgrounds of the consciousnesses of many individuals. And this is one of the huge linchpins of depression. It's the recognition of a life not worth living. It's a very harsh realization. David is reeling a little bit inside, wanting to stop the feed a little bit, wanting to pop back through, or asking me to buffer my language a little bit, checking in, making sure we're still good. But for us to not speak into these things is to be doing a disservice. For us to not speak into the truths as we see them, that humans have the capability to understand, but not the collective consensus of understanding. For us to not illuminate these things simply because we might offend someone, or because we might trigger someone who is depressed, is to do a massive disservice. It's actually the point, is to be able to trigger those who are not living in complete alignment. That's the whole reason why we're here, is to be able to trigger that so that things can begin to shift. Because when things shift for someone who's out of alignment, that can only ever be a good thing. So there is a reason why we speak about these things. There's a reason why we talk about following your soul and not just following your biological urges, your emotions, your thoughts. is because when you follow your body, you're following an animal around, and this animal doesn't have the perspectives that your soul has. Your soul is connected to God itself. Your soul is connected to many, many ideas, beliefs, understandings that are unfathomable by your biological animal. Timeless understanding. Far broader and more vast than anything your body has ever seen. Connected to not just your own individual experience from birth, but to the totality of all existence and consciousness. Now, this is a debatable idea, but that doesn't make it not true. Just because something is in question does not mean that it is not true. This is absolute truth. Just because individuals disagree with it, very smart individuals, doesn't mean that it is not true. Just because there are leading theories on all of your thoughts being emergent from your biology doesn't make that true. There are many misconceptions about what you truly are. But from our perspective, having a fairly external perspective, you are a body, you are a soul, and you are an emergent ego structure that keeps track of who you are and just says, I. And this body and soul are fighting back and forth between and within many individuals on Earth at this time. This is the battle, the war that many individuals talk about, although we don't use that language because it's not really a war between light and dark. It's not some cosmic battle between two forces, one of good and evil, because good and evil don't exist. There is no good or bad. There's simply what works. There's broader perspectives. But there is a conflict between the bodies of individuals and the souls of individuals, and you could call it a battle. It's a little bit dramatic, but you could call it a battle. It is most definitely intense, and it is up for countless individuals in your collective right now. And it is really this conflict, this tension between the body and soul that we are here to resolve, that we are hoping to continually resolve through these distinctions, through continuing to call out all of the ways that many individuals succumb to biological fears, desires, and other emotions that pull one out of their soul path. And the only reason why we're informing this is because humanity has asked us to do so, because countless individuals have asked us to do so. That's the only reason why any civilizations, why any other beings across all that is are here to begin with, is because there's a synchronicity that has been brought into place by the countless asks from human beings as a collective. Please, God, help me to find the strength and clarity to have deep insight and wisdom on this human experience. Please help me to see beyond all of the limitations. Please help me to continue to see the broader perspective. Please help me to understand the ancient wisdoms. Please help me to understand this etheric realm. Please help me to understand energetics. Please help me to understand how I may be of the most service. All of these questions continue to be prayed on a daily basis. Prayers go to God, but God is a collective. So these prayers to everything, to the totality of all of existence, are being answered by very specific civilizations, very specific beings and intelligences. And there are many, many beings and civilizations here and present working with the consciousnesses of many individuals on Earth at this time, some conscious and some a little bit more behind the scenes where there is opening. And it is through this process that we continue to inform the slight distinction, such as where the body takes over, to where fears are prioritized over truths. And so one of these distinctions, we get into the main point now, finally, after laying quite a bit of context. One of these distinctions is taking the little brother path, we could call it. Right, not the older sibling that you are most attracted to, that you are most called to. But beginning to interact with and build a relationship with the younger sibling while ignoring the older sibling, while ignoring the individual that you're most called to. Right? And this metaphor, although loose and not perfect, is of course a metaphor for your deep soul path and these tangential paths, such as the individual who is here to bring through deep vocal transmissions of truth and is instead teaching a musical instrument because they are similar. They have to do with vibrations. And if this individual can teach a musical instrument, then they can bring more music to the world. And this is true, but it is not the reason why that individual came there. And in many ways, they are saying no to the real reason why they came, right? This example that David brought up earlier. This is saying yes to the little brother of the deep soul calling. Now, what we've yet to entirely begin to differentiate and describe in its fullness is how you know what your soul path is and how to find your soul path and how to continue to differentiate that. Right? And there's quite a few distinctions here. We've touched a little bit on this and we've begun to open up the landscape for this. But really, what is here is to begin to differentiate some of these intricacies and to leave the larger question unanswered at this moment. This is very methodical and very precise. And this is in a way to begin to give the individuals an opportunity, the individuals specifically who have this deep soul calling already resonating within their being, to give them an opportunity to accelerate their path very rapidly now. So if you think about this from our perspective, these are public transmissions. They cannot go as deep as, for example, these transmissions that are coming in this mastermind that David and Miriam are hosting. They absolutely cannot. Because it is less regular, there are individuals who listen to one and will not be back next week who are listening to this one and have not been here the week previous or the week before that. There are individuals who this is the first and only transmission from us that they will ever listen to. And so we cannot go as deep, we cannot be as thorough, we cannot explore the intricacies in the way that we would want to because there are a wide amount of variables that keep us from doing so. If we were to drop a huge bomb of awakening, catalyzing information in this single podcast, and this were to be the one thing that an individual were to listen to, then they would not have time to integrate this truth. They may be pushed further away from their path, and we may actually slow down the totality of the ascension of planet Earth, right? So from our perspective, because we know that individuals may just come to us for a brief moment. If we can help the individuals who are already teetering on their awakening, if we can help individuals who are already feeling their soul path on a very deep level, have very intense visions of who it is that they are meant to become, know exactly what is here for them, and simply are choosing paths that are close to it but aren't actually it because they're afraid or because they're looking for something more practical or secure or because they want to be more grounded than the flow fairies who are simply holding out in deep manifestation practices that are not grounded in reality, right? Whatever judgments there may be of the spiritual path, for an individual to be choosing a lesser path because it makes them feel like they're still on the path, we're going to be able to call that out. Because for us to be able to call that out means catalyzing individuals' transformation in a very short amount of time using the amount of clearance that we have here currently. And for those who continually listen, we are also beginning to drop layered messages that will continue to unfold over time. So all of this is very, very precise, but we want to give you some background on why we aren't just simply taking this as a course, for example, right? This isn't just we are coming here into these public-facing transmissions to be able to outlay parts 1 through 8 of this teaching on blank. Because there are individuals who will listen to part 4 and 6 and 8 and get nothing or slow down their path. That's not something we're willing to do. So we are and will continue to be beings of precision, continuing to bring the most precise messages at the most precise times. And today, what is here is to be able to unpack this understanding from this perspective for the individuals who are teetering right on their path, right on their souls. Yes, but are being called by paths that aren't quite it. So let's call some things out very directly. This is so you can begin to spot this in your day-to-day life and build this awareness. If you are or know an individual who has a very specific soul path to bring a very specific mission or message to the world, who is currently operating under business structures that feel slightly out of integrity to who they truly are, or feel like it's slightly not really actually them, that they wouldn't actually write those things. And it feels as though they've gone online and used a template and pulled up how to run a business and filled in their soul's mission and purpose into that template. For an individual who's running their business from a very traditional business perspective, trying to bring a soul mission to the earth, they're essentially using manipulative and outdated tactics to be able to bring something new to the world. There's a deep conflict there. We could call this a little brother path. Taking something that seems more practical, that seems more true, going and finding business solutions that absolutely will work because they have worked before for other individuals who have seen massive 400, 800% upticks in their overall ROI over a 6-month period. You can do it too. These individuals are choosing practicality over truth. Even though deep in their souls, they know it's a detour. Even though deep in their souls, they know what they actually have to do is simply just talk to this person and this person and this person and begin to have conversations with them and then continue to grow the business. Even though they know what is already here, they are doing something that makes more sense to the brain, which is a part of the body, not a part of the soul. They're doing something that makes more sense to the emotional circuitry, which is a part of the body, not to the soul. They're doing something that doesn't make them as afraid. They're doing something that doesn't make them feel as scarce. They're doing something that makes them feel safer. This isn't bad, because there is nothing that's bad, but it isn't following their soul truth. All right. To take another example, an individual who is deeply loving, who is deeply kind, and in a relationship with an individual who is not aligned with them whatsoever, but through kindness, through compassion, they make it work. You can feel it. That there's not true, genuine alignment, that they are not better together, that they do not bring out the soul aspects of each other, that they do not call each other forward and do deeper iterations of themselves. Everyone around them can feel it. And yet, for the biological reasons of wanting to be more loved, for the biological reasons of wanting to feel more love and to not feel left out and to feel safe and to feel coddled and held, and for the biological reasons of reproduction, there's a continual forward movement outside of the soul path in relationship. Right? There are many iterations of this. So what would be their deepest soul path is to continue forward, embodying more of their truest essence, and allowing an individual to come into their life that supports the furtherment of their path, continuing to prioritize their soul path and following the energy of their truest soul's next step again and again and again and again and again, prioritizing that over everything, allowing that to continue to unfold because there's a recognition that the soul has a higher vantage point. There's a recognition that the soul is more precise, more efficient, more true. But instead, there's a choosing of the little brother path. Perhaps this individual will do. Perhaps I can build this even though it doesn't actually support who I'm truly becoming. There are many, many iterations of choosing what we could call the little brother path. Many, many, many iterations. A business deal that is not slightly just, perhaps not quite in alignment, but provides certain vanity metrics like more followers or more cash flow or more revenue, right? More reputation. A nice little ego boost because they're a big and thriving company, or because the individual respects the owner quite a bit. Whatever reasons there may be, there are many, many iterations of what this can look like and what this does look like. But what is truly here is being able to fundamentally understand that the soul path, this deep soul knowing, that your intuition will continue to carry you forward at a much quicker rate, at a much more efficient rate, more so than any of these little brother paths. And that by choosing the little brother path, it is not actually forward movement. It is a detour that is in many ways less efficient than doing nothing. That for these businesses, for these relationships, for these iterations of oneself, going down these little brother paths, choosing something that kind of resembles the soul path, but isn't actually the thing that is emergent from the very core essence of one's being, is actually slower than doing absolutely nothing at all. And this is where a deep amount of discernment comes with who to look up to, and who is actually quote-unquote successful, or who is really making a mark for themselves on this planet, or who is really crushing it in quotes. Because even money and success and reach and awareness can all be vanity metrics. And from the deep soul perspective, how quickly an individual is able to differentiate between what is of the body and what is of the soul, and how much they can continue to choose and follow the energy of their soul through many, many, many decisions, continuing to say yes to the things that are of the soul's essence and continuing to say no to everything else, including the things that are related to or resemble the soul's deepest path. As an individual continues to walk down this path, that is, from our perspective, true success. Because that is ultimately the thing that takes into consideration the whole of humanity. That is ultimately the thing that, when blown out to the macro, when universalized, makes for a beautiful civilization that every individual wants to live within. It ultimately does not matter whether an individual is atheist, whether they believe in God, whether they believe in a very specific religious dogma, whatever the belief or ideology is. The absolute truth is that to work from the most whole-centric perspective an individual can work from, to work from the broadest perspective that an individual can work from, will always be better for the whole. And in being better for the whole, will be better for the self. But if you happen to have an ideology, if you happen to have a perspective or a spiritual understanding that allows you to differentiate between the body and the soul, that allows you to pull out and differentiate very specifically what is your soul path, then you have one of the greatest keys to deep wisdom and forward momentum that humans have access to currently at this time, anywhere on the planet. That deep inner soul wisdom is the highest and truest perspective available to humanity at this time. And this is why we continue to stress this. And this is why we continue to you could say take out or break or lessen the effects of everything that closely resembles but isn't actually that path. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing this message to wash over your system, for allowing this to begin to integrate into your consciousness. Feel your feet on the ground. Feel your butt on the seat that you're sitting in. Feel your lower back, your shoulders, the back of your neck, your eyes. Come back fully into your system. Feel the totality of your body. Allow these messages to continue to wash over you. And at this time, we will now take our leave. Thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing us to differentiate between this deep soul path and what we could call the little brother paths. And thank you for continuing to move forward. We shall speak to you at a later time. Farewell for now. So good. I am in deep appreciation of the totality of this message, but I think even more so this understanding, at least for me, being, I guess, responsible for bringing this through on a weekly basis, you know, being committed to this, being here, showing up on this end. It feels good to know that these messages not quite getting to the point, you know, not quite just teaching grounded spirituality like a course. It's so how I'm used to teaching or presenting information, and to feel the precision that's there, to hear Bergiel talk about how they want to be as precise as possible and bring through ideas and messages that just cut through the crap and that differentiate the soul and body and help us to live a path that is most in alignment with our soul's truest essence, right? To be able to do that in a way where if someone listens to 1 week but not the next, that's not detrimental, you know, or isn't going to leave them behind, to make this not some mandatory thing to listen to, but just a resource that individuals can come to whenever they are feeling called to listen to a very specific message. I think that's beautiful. And I love the reminder of that on this end, at least, to be able to continue to show up every week and not expect there to be this profound, hard-hitting, world reality-shattering message, because it's not actually useful. It's not actually practical. It's not actually efficient. It's not actually precise. And I'm coming to value that precision and that timing and just allowing what is here to be here more and more as time goes on. And as I continue to mature as a channel, I'm recognizing just the beauty of what is here every single time. And I'm recognizing that what is here always has a Rolodex of reasons why that is the thing that is being presented and why it is now that that's being presented. And why it's not more and why it's not less. So if you've been tuning into all of these things, I hope that you're kind of finding these threads. I've been really enjoying the past few weeks stitching together this understanding of what it actually means to say yes to ourselves and to our deepest soul paths. And if you're tuning in for the first time or you've been kind of tuning in and tuning out, then I hope that this message, just even by itself and in isolation, is also uniquely useful to you in your path right now and sparked something for you that you're able to take away. I'm going to go drink some water and go to bed. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I will see you next week for another episode of the Highlight Reel. That was Bergiel of Sirius. I'm David Rostosky. And again, thank you so much for being here. This has been the Highlight Reel podcast, and I will see you later. Bye for now.